coming up on Thunder Pop.
This is a Thunder Pop extra about Shazam. We're going to have a spoiler-free review from our very own Johnny Lightfoot. And we're not talking about a sequel to that alternate universe Mandela Effect movie starring Sinbad. Not that Shazam where he plays a genie. No, because that movie, we know that movie didn't exist. Or did it? Well, either way, it's not that Shazam. We're talking about Shazam. You know the Shazam? The one they had, used to have a TV show for in the 70s?
Chosen from among all others by the immortal elders Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, Mercury, Billy Batson and his mentor travel the highways and byways of the land on a never-ending mission to right wrongs, to develop understanding, and to seek justice for all. In time of dire need, young Billy has been granted the power by the immortals to summon awesome forces at the utterance of a single word.
With the kid and the guy in the van, he used to drive around the country. Yeah, that one. Well, it's a reboot of that from the comic book, Shazam the Superhero. That's the one we're going to talk about, not the Sinbad one. This is a Thunder Pop extra. We haven't done one of these in a while, but we wanted to do one on Shazam because, as it turns out, our very own Johnny Lightfoot got a sneak preview of Shazam already. Am I right or am I right?
Yeah, I saw it last week.
And so you've seen it. I know they're having the red carpet ceremony, I think, in the premiere as we speak right now.
Yeah.
So I know you've already posted some pretty positive things. It's 93% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. I know you've already posted some pretty positive things about, kind of spoiler alert, but I know you've already posted some pretty positive things about Shazam on social media already since you sneak peeked it. And when I say sneak peek, I don't mean you just saw 5 minutes of the movie. You saw the whole movie.
Yeah, I saw it in its entirety. At a full like early screening, and I guess they wanted to just get some opinions early from some folks before they even did the full premiere and everything, to just gain some positive buzz.
Yeah, because I know movie critics that I'm friends with that have been doing this for years, and they were going to see it today for the first time.
Yeah,
so it's pretty awesome. So yeah, and this is a spoiler free because most, including myself, hardly anybody has seen this film yet. So that's what makes it even more exciting, is that we're going to get a spoiler free review. And you're not on any kind of gag order. I don't want to get you in trouble, are you?
No. The social media embargo is up, but again, even on social media, I steer clear from spoilers, and even folks who have asked me, if they ask me in like a public forum, I still, you know, say, you know, no spoilers, but this and this, but I don't deal in anything with the plot or anything like that.
Yeah, so this will be a spoiler free review and preview of Shazam on this Thunder Pop extra.
Billy Batson, I choose you as champion. My name, so my powers will become yours. Shazam.
Wait, for real?
Say it, okay?
Shazam is kind of another character very similar to Captain Marvel, which is another superhero that was relaunched in the live-action world just a few weeks ago. And now we've got Shazam, two superheroes that have been kind of on ice for a while.
Yeah. Not a lot of, you know, they've changed some stuff with, you know, these characters over the years, just trying to, whether that be trying to revamp them, trying to modernize them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they've never been, you know, Batman or Spider-Man or anything like that.
Yeah, with those characters are legacy characters like Batman and Spider-Man that have had a new version almost every decade from like the 70s on. In the case of Batman, probably going back to the 50s, there's almost been a new version of that character almost every decade. At least, if not in live action and animation, where there was that kind of the dead period with Batman, even in the 80s. But even during that dead period, well, up to the late 80s, actually, when the Tim Burton was dropped, was finally in the late 80s. So we had kind of a dead period maybe in the 70s for live action with Batman, but you still had the animated version.
Right.
But in this case, I'm going to age myself a little bit, but I remember the live action and watched the live action Shazam, which is going back to the 70s, I believe, and early 80s, and it used to be a Saturday morning, kind of like Saved by the Bell type of run that the show had for a little while. I remember it was on for a while. It was very popular at the time that it was on.
Right, yeah, and it was kind of like a traveling, you know, they traveled around in that van, I believe.
Yeah, and it was around the time of Bill Bixby and his version of the live-action Hulk and the live-action Wonder Woman that was so popular at the time. And so I think it might have been influenced somehow by the Hulk in doing the travel scenario where they moved around from place to place. And that kind of seemed to be a big thing, too, in the 70s and 80s, was to do these shows where people journeyed from city to city. I mean, going all the way up to Quantum Leap, where Quantum Leap was also characters that would be in a different town or city in a different with different people around them each week. So they did that in Shazam. Of course, the Shazam of the 70s, very campy, catered towards a very young kids crowd, Saturday morning cartoon watching kids crowd. But I remember kids doing that Shazam, the whole like spin around and doing the Shazam. And there's actually a lot of people will be surprised by this, but from some research I've done, there was a time when Shazam was considered to be more popular than Superman.
Yeah, it was actually not long after the two of them were created around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was in the 40s or 50s, but Shazam was doing better sales-wise than Superman.
Yeah, it's weird now.
Or at the time, it was Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, too. That's another thing that ties those two together. Not only are they both superheroes that have been kind of on ice for a while, and then just recently they're being rebooted in their own, you know, live-action universes connecting to their DC and Marvel families, but they're also, they have the connection in that they were at one time basically one. So the whole story is that Shazam was originally Captain Marvel, right?
Yeah. Originally Shazam wasn't rebranded as Shazam until DC Comics took ownership of it.
Yeah, and so there was that whole thing because of the legalities that because of DC Comics and having the Marvel name, they had to relinquish that, and then they had to come up with a new name for the character.
Right.
Do you think that's what might have impacted its, if it was in a race with Superman and it was obviously more popular than Superman, do you think the name change might have hurt it in branding?
That I'm not so sure about, because by the time DC took ownership and everything, Superman was definitely more popular.
Mm-hmm.
Because DC took ownership of the character in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so by that time, Superman was more prevalent and on the way up, whereas Captain Marvel or Shazam was a character that the original, you know, ownership group sold to DC because, you know, it wasn't doing that well. So
mm-hmm. That most people, when they think of Shazam previous to this movie, probably thought of the Shazam app and then the game show that's attached to it. Do we know if the app ever had to pay any money to DC to use that name?
I mean, I doubt it, because DC didn't officially rename Captain Marvel Shazam until the early 2010, like 2010, 2011, mm-hmm. I want to say.
Yeah.
So before then, he was still technically Captain Marvel. It's just in the comics, they referred to him as Shazam just for both, I believe, legal and then just to avoid any sort of confusion between the brands.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Especially now with the movies coming out literally a few weeks apart, or maybe 3 weeks apart. And then if it wasn't for us coming out in the middle of the release of Marvel and the release of Shazam, there might have been the really interesting competition where Shazam might have been the movie that ended up knocking off Captain Marvel. But that won't happen right now because Us did it before them.
Yeah.
But that's kind of interesting how that almost happened if it had not been for Jordan Peele.
Yeah, and I mean, there was an interesting thing where you had haters going on and, you know, purposefully doing the audience rotten on Rotten Tomatoes, and mm-hmm. Zachary Levi even came out and did like a video saying, you know, don't do this kind of thing. Like, we're all nerds together, you know, don't bash other superheroes, because, you know, they were essentially bashing, saying, you know, you're not the real Captain Marvel. This is the real Captain. And, you know, Zachary Levi came out and said, hey, we're all friends here. We're all geeks here together. Like, let's be nice to each other. You can be fans of both.
That's a real superhero move.
Yeah.
To do that. Now, you're talking about Zachary Levi. A lot of people probably know Zachary Levi from the Chuck Show from years back, which was had a pretty cult following. It was never as big as, say, like The Office or Parks and Rec. It was on around the same time as those shows, but it definitely had a pretty loyal following, I remember.
Yeah, definitely.
So he's most known for the Chuck Show, but he's just at a point where he's known by people, but he wasn't so known that he wasn't able just to step right in and kind of make this role his own?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, he has some recognition, but not enough to where somebody's like, oh man, did you hear Zachary Levi is the new Shazam? Because we haven't had a Shazam.
Yeah.
And then it's not a big enough property or name to, you know, warrant anything. Even when you got an unknown, like when Henry Cavill first was cast as Superman, it was a big deal because, oh, we have a new Superman.
Right.
Whereas this is just, okay, you have unknown but not well-known actor stepping into the role of a known but not well-known superhero. So yeah, he gets more leeway. You're not going to have as many, I guess, haters coming out and saying, well, that's not my Shazam, or that's not my Captain Marvel, that sort of deal.
People barely remember the Shazam of the original TV show from the 70s and early 80s. Nobody, like most people, don't remember it. They're going to YouTube it, maybe. But much like Robert Downey Jr. stepping into the role of Iron Man, and even Chris Hemsworth stepping in the role of Thor when he did, they didn't have that shadow of, oh, they're following in the footsteps of Brad Pitt, who was the 1980s Thor.
Right. And I mean, even with Batman and Superman, we get that a lot. Who's the best Batman? And they're Adam West people, you know?
Yeah. And there may come a time 30, 40 years from now, if there's another reboot in the Marvel world, or a couple of reboots in the Marvel world, we may have that eventually, that comparison of Iron Man, who was the best Iron Man. But it's probably not going to be until like 2040 or something like that.
Right, right.
Yeah, but yeah, to step in a role of Superman, Batman, even Wonder Woman, who already had an iconic, portrayal in television. Mm-hmm. And now in Spider-Man, that does happen in the Spider-Man world.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, these characters like Captain Marvel and with Thor, you didn't have to worry about that. The new characters, Black Panther, again, you get a clean slate. You don't have to fall in the shadows or of anybody in particular, except in the actual storyline of Black Panther, where he was following in the footsteps of his father, who was the original king, who was the king before him. So that, ironically, even though the actor didn't have to worry about following in the footsteps of anyone, the actual character did. So anyway, this movie, this film, what do you think? Should people be excited? If it's not already on their radar, does this movie need to get on their radar?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a lot of fun. It has really nice action mixed with humor, but it's very heartfelt. It's got a lot of heart and emotion, and it deals a lot with family, mm-hmm. and then connections, and then, you know, family outside of your blood family. And mm-hmm. so there's a lot to gravitate to, I think, for a lot of people. And then outside of that, I mean, who doesn't want to see a film that's got the heart of Big, but now you have a character with essentially the power of Superman.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what teenager or preteen didn't ever think, you know, growing up, oh man, if I had this power, or what superpower would you have, that sort of deal. And then to be all of a sudden you're just given that power, what would a kid do? And then, you know, what would the motivation for a kid be with that sort of power? Not necessarily as a hero, but what would a kid do with that sort of power? And it's an interesting take on it. They really did it well. And it's crazy that the director is, you know, horror background.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's one of the things that it could work out really well. And it sounds like it did, or it could not work out. And there could be a disconnect there. So it was a gamble. It was a gamble.
Yeah, and I mean, David Sandberg, you know, he started out, he did a little short film called Lights Out, which went viral online several years ago. And then James Wan comes out of nowhere, plucks him out and says, hey, you know, with the studio behind me, we're going to back you to make a feature length. He does that. Mm-hmm. Then he does Annabelle Creation to show I can carry a little bit of a budget.
Yeah.
And then with James Wan doing Aquaman, they're gonna basically pluck from James Wan's tree of talent.
His coaching tree for producers and directors.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great, and it really
worked. And it was like we were discussing on the last or not the last, but the previous episode of Thunder Pop, mm-hmm. where, you know, if you can do comedy or horror well, one of those, it makes it easier to transition to the other. So with Jordan Peele, he was, you know, came from comedy and he transitioned well to horror. Vice versa with David Sandberg, coming from horror and transitioning to comedy, but still holding some elements of horror in there.
That's great, yeah. And Jordan Peele is one of those people that I believe he could pretty much do anything. You know, he's going to do horror, and that's his thing. And he's going to do it really well. But if he wanted to do a drama or a historical piece or whatever, he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he falls in that category. So it seems like DC is finally starting to find their way. I know that was another thing that came up in an episode before last that I asked you if DC is on the right track. Do you buy that? Do you agree with it? Do you disagree with it? And you said, I want to answer that question, yes, after I see what they do with Shazam and Wonder Woman 1984. So they're already halfway there, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, between Aquaman and this, I think they're on a good track.
Yeah.
And it just shows that, you know, when you try to focus on storytelling and mm-hmm. these characters, as opposed to trying to catch up with Marvel.
Like, right.
Marvel's already years ahead of you. Just do your own thing. And I think they're finally realizing that. It just took severe backlash from some other films before they decided to course correct.
Yeah, it took them, you know, three or four films. They were kind of already in so deep, they had to, you know, get through those three films because they were already invested in that arc before they could recalibrate, which is what they seem to have done. Starting with Wonder Woman is really where it seemed like it started, where they started to get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
And they've been kind of... And now we know we're going to get a Suicide Squad with James Gunn, which is probably going to be a pretty good Suicide Squad sequel, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I believe so. Regardless of whether the full cast is redone or whatnot, I definitely have faith in James Gunn.
Yeah, and there's been talk about that, where they probably are recast a few people, and then maybe they had took out some characters, like maybe the Joker's not in this one, maybe they just discarded with him, and then put somebody else in there, kind of swapped out a few, and didn't necessarily recast, but maybe just swapped out a few of the characters too on some of the other ones. So it'll be interesting, but I'm sure whatever he comes up with could be very satisfying, could be. So that sounds potentially good. Were they clever enough to put a Tom Hanks cameo in there, I wonder? That's what I'm wondering.
I mean, without spoilers.
Yeah, you don't have to answer that. You don't have to answer that.
Yeah, I mean, I will say there are some cool little snippets in there. Mm-hmm. Some little nuggets for everybody.
Yeah.
Throughout the film.
Yeah, there's so many things I want to ask you, but I'm not going to ask you because I don't want you to blow it. Like, I don't want you to spoil it for people. But I know there was speculation whether Superman was in this and whether Henry Cavill was going to show up, or they were just going to and if they still were going to be in negotiations with him and maybe weren't going to be able to use him, but we're going to still have Superman maybe just shot from the neck down.
Right.
So that's one of the other things I'm sure people are really curious about going into Shazam is, does Superman show up? And if so, how do they pull it off? Do they pull it off? Did they get Henry in there before they filmed it? And then if they do get Henry in there, I'm sure it was one of the things that was shot like in a pickup later, much later right. in the process. And then, some of those little things in there they might have thrown in. Because I think this is going to be big for a new generation.
Oh, definitely. Because it's a hero a lot of people don't know about. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a hero. A lot of people, the way younger people gravitate towards Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think this is a character that people, you know, ages, I don't know, 10 to like 18 will really gravitate to, as in, oh, that's kind of like me, you know, in terms of the way the kid is or whatnot. And then you might have the older people gravitate to, oh, I was like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of deal. And then the younger ones, they're just going to enjoy the fun and the action. The action is really great. It's got a strong villain, Mark Strong, mm-hmm. no pun intended. It was a strong villain.
Mm-hmm.
All of the acting from the kids. Mm-hmm. So you had Asher Angel playing the Billy Batson character.
Yeah.
And him and Zachary Levi were on some kind of connection, because even though, you know, you have an adult and a kid, their mannerisms and the way they talk is very similar.
Wow. Wow.
And then Jack Dylan Grazer, who is the foster brother, played by or Jack Dylan Grazer, who plays Freddie Freeman. Many people know him from as Richie, one of the Losers Club in It. He was fantastic as the foster brother to Billy Batson, who knows all about superheroes, so kind of has to, you know, explain things to Billy Batson. And the journey of them two, you know, as foster brothers becoming friends is a really great through line for the whole movie.
You know, Billy Batson, though, has always been my favorite alter ego name for superhero.
It's great because it's, you know, so many superheroes have, you know, Peter Parker, Bruce Banner, all that sort of stuff. But Billy Batson is a pretty cool name. And what's crazy is the actor's name is Asher Angel. How cool is that name?
Yeah. So you got kind of a little parallel there, or a synchronicity of sorts.
Yeah.
So all the, you know, and that's the same thing that I'm reading on Rotten Tomato right now, is everybody's saying that the kids in this film are just tremendous, and the people are going to be blown away by the kids acting. The kids acting in this film is apparently amazing. Is this Guardians of the Galaxy good?
So that's one of the questions I've gotten from people online, and I would say it's Guardians good. But it's not like Guardians, because that's what people are asking me. Yeah. Because they're hearing like it's Guardians good, and they're like, okay, is it the Guardians style? It's not the same type of humor as Guardians.
Okay,
it's definitely not on the same wavelength. Like Guardians, you know, has little to nothing to do outside of Peter Quill. Little to nothing to do with, you know, us, like just regular folk here. Shazam is very much so, the root character Billy Batson is very much so grounded in reality. This, you know, this takes place in Philadelphia. They mm-hmm. reference the Rocky movies.
Oh, that's cool. You almost have to when you're in Philly.
And so it's very much so grounded in a reality to where, okay, I could see that. And then, you know, Guardians is very spectacular. You know, there's humor and stuff in there, but a lot of that humor ties into unrelatable things. Whereas here, the humor, you know, whether it be tied to a 7-Eleven or, you know, cutting class, you know, all that sort of thing is all relatable. It's very grounded in reality, mm-hmm. even though it's fantastical. Whereas Guardians is over the top, and I love the humor, but it's very, very different.
Yeah. Shazam! I just want to say that now. I'm getting excited about you're getting me excited about this movie. Shazam! Shazam! People are going to start saying that again. I think you're going to come out of the theater.
I think so. And the thing is too is there's the way David Sandberg evolves the character both through both actors, even just the way he says it from early on in the film to later in the film, towards the third act, both actors, the young and the older, the way they've evolved, just not just as characters, but in the way they physically, their physical mannerisms, the way they walk and talk, but even just the way they say Shazam evolves from the first time to each time throughout the movie, but to where by the third act, you know, you feel like this is a fully formed character on both the child side and the adult side.
Wow, that's amazing. It's amazing. Kudos to those actors, but also kudos to the director for being able to get that figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, ABC, the ABC network, a few years ago, they shot a pilot and it didn't make it to order for a Greatest American Hero revival. And it was going to be a female they were going to have, and they wanted to make it more diverse. They were going to actually use an Asian lady to play the new Greatest American Hero. And I can't remember the actress's name that was cast and shot the pilot, but the film, and ABC has done a really good job the last decade of trying to bring more diversity to their television shows. And mm-hmm. so they took a really good swing at it, and they tried to do that, and it didn't get picked up. But could you see Shazam, if it's a big hit, it already sounds like critically it's a big hit with the critics. If it's a big hit in the box office, could you see another company, maybe ABC again, taking another look at maybe The Greatest American Hero, because it's kind of from a similar era when it was on television, and then it's also got that sort of element of a fish out of water when it comes to superheroes?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by anything in terms of a network taking a shot, or at least, you know, ordering a pilot or something. The only thing is, you don't want to make it especially if you're ABC, you don't want to make it too similar to Shazam, because that's your competition.
Yeah,
with ABC being under Disney.
Yeah,
but the way Shazam is, you know, going, and if I think it goes where I think it could, then, you know, all bets are off on whether somebody else wants to take a crack at doing this. It's just, will you be able to do it as well? That's the question.
Well, not only as well as this Shazam film, but as well as the original Greatest American Hero, because the original Greatest American Hero, pretty, at the time,
well beloved,
well beloved, and there's got a huge cult following. And I mean, even at the time the show went off ABC, it was picked up by NBC for another season. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people forget that even in the original Greatest American Hero universe, there was a handoff where they had a female that took over for the original guy that was the Greatest American Hero. And that was part of the NBC last season of The Greatest American Hero that was done back during the original run. So anyway, yeah. Now, this is a franchise, you think? We're going to get 3 or 4 or 5 of these?
I would not be surprised. Yeah. And they were definitely, they weren't heavy-handed with the DC extended universe,
yeah.
You know, snippet. There are a couple little nuggets here and there, mm-hmm.
and that's all we need. That's all we need, right? We don't need a lot.
Yeah, just to let you know, hey, we're in the same world.
Yeah,
as a Superman and a Batman, but we're not gonna go crazy. Like, we're focusing on Shazam.
Yeah,
and Billy Batson, and, you know, his foster family.
Yeah.
And it's very, like I said, it's very much a story about family.
And it's kind of cool that it already exists in a world where the superheroes are a real thing. I think that lends, to me, I feel like that lends to the arc of this character, because it's much like Spider-Man now having the connection of being a part of the Avengers universe. I think it actually adds to the arc and gives Peter Parker more depth in terms of his story arc.
Oh yeah, but I will say, and this isn't a spoiler because it's in the trailers, but unlike Spider-Man, Peter Parker, who looks up to the Avengers,
yeah,
and like thinks the Avengers are great,
yeah,
Billy Batson doesn't know a thing about superheroes and could care less.
That's interesting. Okay, well, and they're taking their own take on that, so that's good. They're not trying to follow every beat of what Marvel did with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And there's some similarities there too, it sounds like, but they're also doing some of their own things too. Well, that's exciting, and I'm really happy for Zachary Levi too, because I, like I said, I've always been a fan of his. I liked what he did with Chuck, and was hoping that we were going to see him in some other really exciting, fun things in the, going forward. So it's really cool to see him pop up in this. The Rock was originally attached to this. Is he maybe a possible villain in a future sequel? Is he still...
Well, he's been attached to play Black Adam for years.
Yeah.
And Black Adam is one of Shazam's main antagonists.
Yeah, it's his main antagonist. So
that was something a lot of people have been looking forward to for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was always a question of, well, are they ever going to get Shazam off the ground?
Yeah.
To the point where we can bring in a Black Adam.
Exactly. And I've even read that now there's talk of a Black Adam standalone, like him getting his own film.
Yeah. But I think this film kind of did it very similar to Batman Begins, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go straight with your hero's greatest villain.
Yeah.
Let the hero shine in the first film. Like, let's connect to the hero. Let's root for them. That way, when his greatest villain comes in, he's already, you know, somewhat of a fully formed hero by that time. You don't want the hero to learn how to be a hero when he's facing his greatest foe.
Yeah, and that was if there was a mistake made in the Tim Burton trilogy, it was that they did just that. They it was his two films, so it really technically wasn't his trilogy, but his two films, that was one of the mistakes they made, was they brought the Joker in right away, and not only did you bring the Joker in, but you brought Jack Nicholson.
And he stole the film. Like, I can't imagine, if you would have put The Rock in this film,
yeah,
he would have stole the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have very easily happened. And that was always the talk too, that he was offered his choice, the heat for Shazam or Black Adam, and that he picked Black Adam.
He just felt like that was a character he could dive into. And the other thing with The Rock is he's always playing the hero.
Yeah.
He never gets to play the antagonist.
No. So, and you think that's going to happen eventually. He's going to get a shot at doing a really good antagonist character role. So I'm sure he's dying to dive into something like that, because it is something he hasn't had a chance to do.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. So that'll be exciting. It sounds like we may actually get that based on this movie's success. Can this movie do really well where it's landing as far as the date?
I think so, because it's essentially going to have 3 weeks before Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's all it needs as far as time to really kind of, you know, have its own box office, joy. And then,
it got a little reprieve by us kind of biting into Captain Marvel a little bit. Yeah. So that kind of slowed Captain Marvel down.
Yeah.
At just the right time for this to come out, because essentially right now you're counter programming with us, because us rated our horror film, and so this movie, you've marketed it perfectly for all ages.
It's fallen in a really good spot, and then it's going to get all the good, you know, pre buzz because of the Rotten Tomatoes score and the, you know, all the good word of mouth it's getting from people like you on social media. So it's probably going to do really well for him. And people right now are just their mouths are watering for Endgame and the trailers that are, you know, and the teasers and the posters that are coming out. So that's sort of a good appetizer to have another superhero movie that's going to be pretty satisfying. And actually, I think it's going to distract people from any thought of Endgame for a good week or two.
Well, and the other thing with this one, you don't have to have seen any movie before this.
Yeah.
Like, even if you didn't see any of the other DCEU movies, it doesn't matter. Yeah. There's absolutely, there's outside of mentioning characters and stuff, there's not, you know, they don't rely on the previous movies to boost this up. It definitely stands on its own.
Yeah, which is something you might not be able to say for Wonder Woman 1984, because there is going to be, at that point, there's going to be, she's going to have had her baggage, things that she's going to carry into that film from the previous Wonder Woman, and then even a little bit from Justice League. So her, from her origin film, and then also from Justice League, she's going to be carrying, she carries in more, so it's a lot harder for people to jump into that film. But this one, yeah, it's an easy one for people that don't, haven't been to a single DC movie. This is a great one to just go enjoy on its own.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm excited. Johnny, thank you for giving us your spoiler-free feedback, and everyone's really excited for Shazam. Once it comes out, I'll go see it, and then we'll have to get back together and talk about it some more, where we can actually get in, dive into some of the real, you know, nitty-gritty on the film. Well, Johnny, Lightfoot can be found on his podcast,
Matinee Talk.
Are y'all going to review this?
We'll probably do this along with... the new Pet Sematary remake will probably be our next episode.
Yeah, because Us is now, right now, right? And then
yes, our Us podcast. Yeah, our Us review is currently out. Our next one will be Shazam, as well as the new Pet Sematary.
It's a lot to dive into. It's a busy busy month.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a good thing. It's a good problem to have. All right, Johnny. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Later.
Later on. Shazam! Shazam! And that is our Thunderpop Extra. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Shazam! Shazam!
We thought it would be a good idea to have Sinbad address some of the concerns fans had over... Well, why don't you just take a listen?
We've been looking for questions out of the internet to ask Sinbad. Things everybody wants to know about Sinbad. Cool. On Twitter, from Princess Jazz E.
Princess, all right.
Do y'all remember a movie called Shazam with Sinbad playing a genie?
You know what? The movie was never real. It was, the rumor started in 2009. I don't know where it came from, but it's not real.
All right, not real.
Okay.
From 93Chills on Twitter.
93Chills.
I know for a fact Sinbad was in a genie movie. I'm not tripping.
No, man, it was never real. It was never... How old are these people, man? I mean...
Carly Mersch?
Carly.
Dude... Sinbad was the f***ing genie.
See, Carly, you know, Carly, I wish I knew where you live so I could come by there and just tell you to your face. It never happened. And you never saw it. And you should go to rehab.
From Small Town Pete on Twitter?
Small Town Pete.
The best part is how Sinbad is the genie and he always comes out of the lamp. Remember?
Okay, let's go with this. Yeah, man, that's one of my favorite movies, okay? I enjoyed doing that movie because I actually, I was going through rehab at the time, and that's when I shot that movie because I needed cash for crack.